It's my great honor to be the first lecturer in this grade, supposed to be grade school, and I first thank organizers, of course, about their very hard work. Okay, so today, well, the title of this lecture is Introduction to Symmetries in Intro to Symmetries in QFT. And yeah, so this lecture is supposed to be in synergy with, well, of course, everyone else, but in particular the clays. And the message that I want to convey in this set of lectures is that symmetry in QFT, here I mean generalized, okay, so that's beyond what can be described by a group, and equals to topological operators or defects, topological defects. The two words operators and defects are used interchangeably, so means the same thing. Okay, so this is the message I want to convey. In this lecture, I would like to view this equation as a definition of this side by this side. Okay, and I want to explain why it's reasonable and how it's convenient. Okay. Oh yeah, I forgot to say, please interrupt anytime if you have a question or if you want to correct me, and that will be very appreciated. So, any questions so far? Okay, so yeah, okay. Sorry. So the plan of the talk, I have 4 days to give lectures. So today, I'd like to introduce the notion of topological operators in QFT, but before that, because this is the first lecture and the students are supposed to include both math and physics, so I think it would be good to establish some language that both of us can use, and that I think is thinking QFT as a functor. So here, and yeah, so that's the first topic today, and then I will introduce about the extended operators or defects. Okay, so that's a day one. And yeah, about this viewpoint, I assume that in particular, I guess the Professor Fried will give a better version, so I will try to be brief. But anyway, I will do. Then Then day two, we'll talk about the main topic, operators and symmetries defined by them. Then day three, I'd like to be a bit more concrete, and we'll talk about the one-form symmetry particular in gauge theory. And its relationship to confinement. And then day four will be about a quote unquote non-invertible. Symmetry. But I mean I expect that the lecture will not go on as planned. So the day four I try to finish up this content and the rest of the time will say what I can say. Okay. So if there isn't any question, I start. Gift as a functor. Okay. So in this lecture, I only talk about by QFT. Nowadays, what QFT can mean is also being generalized, but here I only talk about relativistic Euclidean QFT in D. If I D, this means that in D-dimensional spacetime. Okay, so when I say D-dimensional, it includes the direction of time. Okay, and so that's what we want to consider. Then a convenient framework is to talk about this QFT is to think it as a functor. So quote unquote define it as a functor. Okay, I cannot talk about every detail about this definition as I am physicist pretending to be pseudo mathematician, but I'm not. So please forgive me about many I don't know flaws, and sorry about that. So this functor, I call it Z. Is from the what I'm going to try to define the both sides from the category of Boltzmann's and to the category of vector spaces, and this is just the category of vector spaces. And so this side, I have to explain more. So S, here S is some properties or structures of the manifolds that the we want to work on. Okay? So, like, it can be like diff, just the differential structure, or you might want to put Riemannian metric. Okay, or maybe you want to put a spin structure. Or maybe some connection. So some connections on some bundles and connections on that. And of course we can you can take any combination of this if as long as it's compatible. And that depends on your setup. Okay. And the objects of this category. Is the D minus one dimensional S manifolds. I mean closed. Let me keep things simple. So here I say it's closed S manifolds. Here if I say S manifold, that of course means that manifolds that satisfies or have this S structure. Okay. And the morphism in this category is the first the Boltzmann as Boltzmanns between M and bar. This is orientation. Okay. And to be well, let's say this. Okay, so just draw a picture. So how you think about this? So let me call. Yeah. Okay. So these are objects. So these are M and N are in the objects. Okay. And by Boltzmann of N and bar means that this is a Boltzmann. Some this is the dimensional manifold and whose boundary is disjoint union of M and bar. Okay. And we regard this diagram as like some evolution of space-time that and say this direction is the Euclidean time. Okay. So we read this picture as that we start from this space M. This is space, some time size, and we have some one pole or whatever. I'm not talking about the dynamical gravity, just the background. As a background, you have some change of the topology possibly, or metric or whatever, then reach to this time slice, which is n. Okay. Okay, and I said that, so this is the morphism here. Okay, so let's what this how this functor looks like. So this functor sends this each object assigns for each object a vector space. So z of n, this is d minus one dimensions. So as I said, you should regard this as the space or the time slice, and this is a vector space. Okay, so of course you should regard this as a state, the space of states. So this is a space.
Kantaro, I have a question in the chat.
How can I see the chat?
I can read it for you. Okay, the question is, what's the relation between the tangential structure S in D and in D minus one space-time dimensions?
Okay, let me see. So to talk about this language. The question is that you have more generally, if you here these S structures can depend on the dimension, okay. So in most general term, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think. Most generally, you can choose for each dimensions here d and d minus one, your properties and how and of course if you also know that how you restrict your SD to SD minus one, then you can run this game. However, the very important. I shouldn't say too much about this, but very important paper by the other lecturers that Don Fried and Mike Hopkins have shown that if we say if we assume that QFT is TQFT is reflection positive, then once you if this S is just satisfy some conditions, then you can there's a unique way to have S in all dimensions, but yeah, sorry for being unclear.
Yes. One more question in the chat. When you use vect, the question is if it's finite dimensional vector spaces.
No. So in, yeah, good question. When you talk about the TQFT, the positive quantum field theory, it's often assumed that this vector space is the finite dimensional vector spaces. But for non-topological QFTs, vector space is not finite dimensional generically, so it's not, yeah, it's this is the vector space can be infinite dimensional, and of course you can ask that is there any further properties you put like not just the, probably not just the vector space, but maybe you want to say the topological vector space or Hilbert space or blah blah, but I do not go into the talk about the right choice of the domain, a codomain category. I'm just roughly saying that it should be inside the category of vector space, category of vector spaces. Okay. And okay, so then, so this is your state space. Now, this is functor. So of course, they also do something with the morphisms. So D of W is this is in home of MN. Okay, and this assigns a linear map. So so as I said, you should regard this as a time evolution. So this is time evolution along this Euclidean time, and under this particular classical background specified by W. Okay, and one thing I should add is and so this Z has to be monoidal. In particular, means that I was explicitly said that this each object can be a disconnected manifold, and if you have such manifold, then this should be just a tensor product. So this is one property that this is not all property, right? But this one property that Z has to satisfy. And so as I said, this Z of the morphism should be regarded as a time evolution, and the most natural background to evolve is just a cylinder. So this is just you have M and evolve Euclidean time. Okay, and okay, so this is just the time evolution on M. Just under this simple buffer. Okay, and if you write this on this, oh yeah, so oh sorry. Well, you can just, this is length tau, you can just cut here tau 1 and tau 2. Okay, then the functoriality of I already used the functoriality of this z means that this u m of tau 1, well, maybe tau 2 u m of tau 1 is equals to u m tau 1 plus tau 2. Yeah, I didn't explain, but the composition law of this category is just if you have this bodhism and that bodhism, you just connect here. But for this to work, you have to specify the frame. You have to have framing here. Anyway, this and in this case, you just connect these two cylinders. Okay, and functoriality means that you have the very natural law, the multiplication law of this operator U, and this equation motivates us to take a log. So right this way, and this is the Hamiltonian. Sorry, just a second. Good.
The product between the tau 1 and tau 2, these are like.
Oh, yeah. This is. These are linear maps on itself. So this is just the composition of linear maps.
Sorry, you define U as like the Z of the cylinder of the
M. Yes, so this is map from ZM to ZM. Okay, so this cylinder, this is D minus one dimensional. Cylinder is the bodhism between M and M1. And this is a linear map on ZM. Okay. Okay, so far this is a rough language that we can use, and it, let me see.
Sorry, question.
Yes?
How do we know the H-H Hermitian?
So good question. So how do I know that the H is Hermitian? And I haven't said anything about unitarity yet, and I'm not going to do that. Partly because I assume that's someone else's job. So I haven't said anything about unitarity, if we want to talk about the unitary QFTs, we have to add other things to these axioms, and that's actually the active area of research, I think, and very for this known topological QFTs. There's very recent proposal by Kontsevich and Zeigler, which is very interesting, but I'm not there to talk about it. So, yes, so. Okay, and so I assume.
Yes? But up to now, there is no even a notion of scalar product, no?
No, sorry.
There is no even a notion of scalar product on the space.
So, scalar product, what do you mean by?
I mean, the internal product on the vector space.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't
introduced this. You already have a natural notion of pairing, to be precise, the one parameter. So you can bend the cylinder like this. Well, you don't do it metrically, but just vectorically. And then, so you have pairing now of, so this is one parameter family of pairing. Okay, so that's G of phi. I didn't say that G of phi is supposed to be a one dimensional. So, yeah, you already have one parameter family of inner products, but I haven't introduced the inner product, the Hilbert space structures yet. Yes. Okay, and
excuse me.
Yes.
One quick remark. I'm having trouble understanding some words. I don't know if removing the mask or putting the microphone a little bit closer could help. Maybe. Okay.
Yes. Is this better?
I think yes.
Thanks. Okay. So it would help to give you some example. And I think many of the lecturers will talk about it anyway, which is the finite gauge theory. Okay, and I guess the finite gauge theory, I only talk about the implicit version. This is a generalization. Okay, so this is d-dimensional. D is whatever. Topological Lafayette theory. Yeah, topological means that the I don't have Riemannian metric on these manifolds.
Sorry, Kantar, I have another question from the chat.
Yes.
So since the state space evolves with time in this description, can we understand it to be essentially the Schrödinger picture? If so, is there an equivalent formulation in the Heisenberg picture or the interaction picture?
So actually I have hard time to remember which is Schrödinger and which is Heisenberg. That's very much about which basis you would take, and I'm talking in the base three notations. So that's the answer. if you first fix this basis at some time, and then whether you want to use the basis here with this time evolution times this or itself is the distinction. Yeah, but here I'm doing the base read language. Sorry, would you say again? So how do I define local operators in this format? I will talk about that later. Yes. Please. Oh, yeah. Oh.
When the vector spaces are infinite dimensional, should you assume that the vector spaces are separable?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so let me talk about finite gauge theory. So here is the topological thing. And to the space. And here I'm talking about the TTFT, so this is a finite dimensional vector spaces. Okay, and I also fix as a parameter of this theory, fix p is an integer. It's more than d. And I also fix g is finite group. And G is abelian. If P is this is more than D minus one. If P is positive, then G is also, should also be abelian. So this P and G is just the parameters I use to define a QFT. This is an input. And okay, so I put again M is the object in this algorithm category. And I define this as a vector space spanned by this set. Okay, here. Okay. This notation, I don't know the good notation. This notation is the span C vector space spanned by these elements. So this is finite set. G is finite. And so it's like this element looks like that. For each, of course, this is for each. You fix basis in this. for each element of this homology group, you get the basis and span of vector space. Okay, so this is about the objects for and I also define about the morphisms. So to define the morphism, I define this for a basis. So this AI is a element in this homology group, and it. So I'm a bit struggled to write it. Yeah. So this W is of course again some of M here. Yeah. And bar. Yes. Sorry.
H is a cohomology group?
Yes, H is a cohomology group.
And the coefficients are in G?
Coefficients are in G, sorry. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So when this abelianness is just because I cannot define when P is positive, G has to be abelian. And yeah. So Ashraf said that for this is a finite version of Gauss theory, and so for our physicist first participant, this A is analog of gauge field, and the most familiar case is the P equals zero, then A is something like a Wang form. And this is the expansion with respect to this coherent states of the gauge field. Okay. But describe it in precisely describe it in this language is hard. So I start from the easier one, mathematically speaking, easier one. That is the finite gauge theory. Okay, so I was explaining this map, and this A, so this summation is that okay. And here So what they do, so this is an analog of first integral, and in this area you can rigorously do first integral because there is only finitely many degrees of freedom, not each point but all on the whole manifold, we only have a finite degrees of freedom. So here, the path integral, which is generally infinite dimensional integral, is reduces to finite sum. And so here we fix the initial state, and I choose initial state to be this with this particular element of cohomology. Okay, and I imagine that this field A lives in. So I'm summing up over this gauge field living on the space-time manifold, but of course I have an initial condition here. So I restrict that this IM is the inclusion map from M to this W, and if I restrict this is just a restriction of the gauge field on the initial state. In initial time slice, and that should be equals to the input. And I sum over possible gauge field configuration on such space-time and initial condition. And then I collect the result. So here, well, almost just restricting A to the final time slice. Okay, but that's defined on, this is N bar, so I just take the orientation reversal to make the whole thing in HP1. And here, I put no coefficient depending on A. That's like that the action is the so-called action is zero. So I put no weight in this for this gauge field configuration. You can put non-trivial action in that case called a twisted finite gauge theory that I guess will be talked in this call, but here I do not go into that direction. This is some normalization. And depending on W, but not depends on A or the finite state. So this is W dependent normalization factor, which also you have to choose so that this Z satisfy functoriality. Yes. Sorry. But if A does not exist, in that case, it's zero. Yes. Well, this particular thing should define a unitary PKFT. But having matrix can be zero. Yes. Well, if there's no A's at all, then. I'm not sure that there is no, well, maybe there can be such a situation that this if this W is a complicated general manifold, then there's no, I mean, it's not the map from the one vector space itself. It's generally just one map from one to the other. So it can be degenerate. It can be zero. So.
Wait a second. The I is like the projection in the boundary, like.
Oh yeah, yeah. I should say I star here. I is the inclusion map. I star is the toolbox. But in more physicist language, it's a restriction onto the boundary.
Sorry, should I think about this theory as like BF theory and with the P plus one gauge field and D minus two minus P gauge field, right? But so sorry, is the answer yes?
Yes.
Okay. But so in at least in certain dimensions, this theory is like diagraph with n deformations. Are you switching off this deformation here or?
That's what I'm saying here, or the word untwisted means.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And. Yeah. So I was asked to give some problems. So just easy one. Exercise. Just put d equals to 2, 0, and for simplicity g. The cyclic group n is whatever, and calculate z of S1. This is vector space. This is pair of points, time is in this direction. Okay, so this is a linear map from Z of S1 to its square tensor product. Okay. And the other way around. And up to, because I didn't specify this normalization constant, so but I hope this is correct. Okay, so I only have 10 minutes, I guess. So let me, so in the rest of this day one lecture, I would like to introduce the extended operators. And for that, I briefly talk about extended QFT. Okay, but that hope to make the language clear enough for particularly for the mathematicians, but I cannot go into the detail. Okay, so here I talk that this Z is a functor whatever, and for the closed D-dimensional manifold, it so I didn't say that the for closed D-dimensional manifold we have been talking about this Bodhism, but it can be closed. In this case, you regard this as a Bodhism from empty set to empty set. So this is and as I said, the Z of phi should be just C. So Z of W is a linear map from to C to C, which is by fixing a basis. This is a corresponding to a number. This is a number called partition function. And so D-dimensional manifold, we have this assigns a number for closed D minus one dimensional manifold. So assigns a vector space. And so far, we only talk about this, but the extended means that we extend this paradigm to lower dimensional manifolds. So for closed D minus two dimensional manifold. So in extended KFT, this should assign something called two vector space. And I'm not going to talk about what two vector space is, but and then I mean next one is this is just I'm just introducing some words. Next step down, you have three vector space, blah blah. Okay, and I'm not going to define higher vector spaces. But this two vector space is a particular type of category. And this the higher one is higher categories. Please correct me I can say some very wrong things, so please correct me. And for my lecture, what I'm going to use in this is that, so in particular, this partition function assigns something to each Q minus one. This is Q. So each sphere. This is a sphere. Okay, and so these things in high dimension, these are some categories. So once you have an extended QFT, you have for each sphere you have some category and you have some objects in this whatever category. And what I'm going to say is that this framework, whatever the extended QFT, will naturally give some labels. So this is some objects in some category, but I regard this as some levels battery. So this each object in this category defines a codimension U defect or the same thing, extended operator. The defect in extended operator means the same thing. Okay, so here I'm just saying that the extended when we say extended QFT, it has information about the codimension Q defect. By the way, in the non topological case, we have to take, I believe, the limit. Where this sphere gets shrunk. Okay, that's I think. But anyway, here I'm just saying that extended QFT has information about extended operators, and instead of talking about this higher category stuff, which I'm not capable of, what physicists effectively do is to directly study this. Okay. So supposedly equivalent formulation is given by decorating decorated polygons. So I don't have time. So I leave it to the next lecture. Here, I'd like to say that mathematically, probably it's better formulation to talk about the higher categories. But next, I try to make a connection with that language, if you know, and the more physicist way of thinking. Okay, so I close the day one. Any questions? Please.
Should I think about this as a version of the state of radial correspondence?
State of radial correspondence.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so this is not restricted to conformal field theory, right?
What is the question?
The statement is not restricted to conformal field theory.
Oh yeah, so that about this limit, that in conformal field theory, this limit it has a canonical.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it has a good property because it's scaling. If it's not the conformal, then some elements in this sphere can get diverged when it gets shrink. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's about the limit. Yes.
So if two QFTs are connected by renormalization, can you say something about, does that place a constraint on their associated functors?
Sorry, what is the question? You have two QFTs?
Yeah, they're connected by renormalization flow.
Oh, okay.
Does this constrain the IR QFT or something functor?
So you are probably asking how to describe the RG flow in this language.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I do not know. Do you have questions?
Maybe.
Backwards.
Okay. And I believe.
Oh, you have a question.
I have a question. So, I believe here you are like interchanging the language of defect with like extended operators. But for example, in the language of more physical language, probably, we have local operators which are charged in some sense under these defect operators. So is there a way to define like local operators in this language? Like,
yeah, so local, I mean, this codimension can be D. Even though I said extended, it includes the case that it's local. It gets more clear about the next tomorrow, I believe. Yeah.
So can I say codimension D extended operators which are local operators will charge under the codimension one defects which are generators of zero form symmetry?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question from the chat, Kantaro.
Yes.
So usually we can only consider non-negative integer linear combinations of defects. How is this integrality condition built in the extended QFT framework?
So good question. So in this extended QFT framework, it's like that you cannot you can multiply. There's no notion of multiply some complex number to an object of this category. So, but there is a notion of add with an integer. With integer coefficients, that way. Yes.
So usually I see these definitions for a topological QFT, but for a generic QFT, why should the partition function not only depend on the Bordism of the manifold? Do you have to relax some assumptions to accommodate more general QFTs compared to a topological one?
Even for the TQFTs, general TQFTs, and the non-invertible TQFTs, the partial function depends on more than Bordism loss, and that's so. Maybe I misunderstand.
Do you mind recapping what assumptions you relax to are you relaxing some assumptions to accommodate more general QFTs rather than just topological ones?
Well, for general, this polarism can depend on, in particular, the Riemannian metric on it. And so different even if the two polarisms are topologically equivalent, if it have different Riemannian metrics, then it's considered to be different, of course.
Yeah, so I think a bit before we had this confusion about when the sum is zero. So I don't think, I mean, if I have a unitary topological quantum field theory, that does not imply that all, like, propagator, like, these time evolution things are all unitary, I think.
Unitary by?
Unitary operators. I think you can...
Okay, well...
I'm just saying that it doesn't, that it can, the sum could be zero. I'm not sure, maybe. At least it doesn't contradict unitarity.
That's yeah.
I have another question from the chat, Quantaro. So is it correct to think about time evolution of states between M and N bar as the push forward of time evolution generated by the Hamiltonian? If so, what do singular points on the flow, e.g. at the critical point of pairs of bands, mean physically for the vector space at those points, which sum of circles?
Oh, so how... the question is probably about how to interpret this time slice, like if the time slice cuts through this critical point of pair of bands. Probably you can formulate generalize this polarism category to include such configuration, the time slice, that here the two circles attach. Touching at each of points. But here I'm just avoiding to talk about such time slice and only talk about the time slice of the without singularity. But yeah, I don't have a good answer about whether we should or can include such configuration.
Sorry, I'm again a bit confused about when you think about this finite group gauge theory in terms of as a BF theory, because then when you write down like the Lagrangian of the BF theory, it is pretty clear that you have two global symmetries. So here, one seems to be, let's say, clear because you can couple to G backgrounds. The other one is hidden. Can you see this or not?
So I will talk about it.
Okay, thank you.
So since we have another full week of lectures from Quintaro and everybody, I think we should continue to discuss over coffee. I had one final announcement that I forgot to make in the opening part, which is that the order of lectures that it says on the printed schedule that you received is completely wrong. The version on the website is correct. And so we will resume, I guess, at past, and I believe that Dan Fried is the next lecturer.